Right. Yeah, it's lovely. I have a great privilege of standing in the front here and just looking out over the congregation at Jubilee. I love the idea sometimes of churches that meet in the round so that everybody gets to see each other's faces. It's a beautiful thing. I'm not going to make any bad jokes in that. It's a beautiful thing to see all of you here. Just a reminder of God's church and the beauty of the body. Last Sunday and this Sunday, I said I was going to be preaching a God story of two halves. One of my favorite books ever is Andrew Wilson's book called God Stories. It's out of print now, so you've got to get secondhand copies, but it's absolutely brilliant. Anything Andrew Wilson writes, go and get it. The Bible is always our first choice, but this is a good book to read. And so I nicked the idea of God's story. So I preached last Sunday and this Sunday looking at the past, at God's history with us at Jubilee, and today I'm looking forward to the future. And I know we've got a number of visitors with us, so I want to say right at the outset, normally we work through whole books of Scripture and we do exegetical preaching. So last Sunday and this Sunday sit a little bit outside of that, but normally we will work through whole books of the Bible. We're about to start a new series and we'll work through lots and lots of Scripture. Today's a little bit different. I would call it maybe a vision preach. So last week we looked at the past and at God's incredible kindness to us as a community of believers that meet here in this building, in this place. And God has been faithful to us for 151 years, and you and I are now suddenly woven into that story that God has been creating in this community over a long period of time, and we have that privilege. Lots of us doing many, many miles together on a journey with Jesus, loving Him and serving Him and doing what He calls us to do. I said last week, looking back is so important for us because when we look back, we can see God's hand and God's presence, and it helps us as we look to the future to remember that because it gives us hope. We know that God, because God has been faithful in the past and He's faithful now, He's going to be faithful in the future. God's word says it, but our experience is that way as well. God is with us. Last year, one of our themes was the Lord is near. God is close to His people, and we know that, we experience that. Those of us who came to the tent on Tuesday night, it was such a beautiful, beautiful moment of just worshiping God, of having space and time to worship God without. We curtailed on a Sunday morning because we've got our kids' work, we've got next meetings, things like that, and sometimes we have to cut things short, but we just had just this wonderful sense of God's presence amongst these people. And actually finishing it, I think we went on for about an hour and a half after we said we were going to stop, and it just carried on. God was just really, really with us here. I also reminded us last week about our DNA. Who are we? What are we about? What's important to us as a church? I looked at the Great Commission, which I think is a commission for all churches. Remember, therefore go and make, Matthew chapter 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. We call to all nations. That's why it's beautiful looking out here and seeing. I know we've got 32 nationalities here brought together into this place to be God's church together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our platform here is different today because we've got it set up for next week where we've got a baptism, where we celebrate somebody who's met with Jesus and they're going through the waters of baptism. That's what church life is meant to be for us. And then verse 20 of Matthew 28, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Lord is near. And then we looked at our tagline that helps us live all of this out. Love God, love people, love life. So simple and yet so difficult to do sometimes. Love God, love people, love life. And I want to say, if you missed last Sunday, I would encourage you to go and listen to it because it just helps us make sense of what I'm going to be talking about today. We are looking to the future, but the past is such an important part of that future. Both the good and the bad in the past helps us make sense of now and also the future. So if you listen to that, I think that would be really, really helpful. So I'm going to focus primarily today on the future, but as I look to the future, I have to borrow from stories in the past and things that God is doing amongst us now. So, who knows what happened on the 5th of January 2020? The 5th, you can't remember back that far. 5th of January 2020, on the first Sunday of January 2020, thousands upon thousands of churches around the world laid out their vision for 2020 and beyond. There was an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity for a very clever play on words. A number of friends of ours, churches that we know, had a service and they called it 2020 Vision. 2020 Vision is the ability to see absolutely what's going to come. And so they laid out their plans for their church for 2020 and for the next 5 years and the next 10 years. And little did they know that much of what was laid out as plans for the next 5 years and for 10 years had to be massively adapted and some shelved because of COVID. It's interesting. Many of those podcasts, those preachers are not available on church websites today. They've just disappeared. You can't get those podcasts. You can't watch those preachers. One of my friends actually had the guts to, at a service, apologize to the congregation. And this morning, as we look to the future, I'm telling you this because I want to remind us that whenever we have plans and strategies, we need to hold them with what I would call a humble sense of lightness. There's nothing wrong with planning. In fact, the Bible is full of telling us that we should be planning. We should be planning in our own lives. We should be planning as a church. We need to look forward and to strategize. We need vision. We need all of those things. We need to think about the future. Many scriptures will come to your mind about that. We're called to advance God's kingdom. And I'm going to mention three verses of scripture now just to help us with some of the tensions that we deal with here. Our most probably one of the most famous fridge magnet verses, that means it's on most people's fridges, is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. What's the difference between God's plans and my plans? God's plans always come to fruition the way that he wants them. Mine don't. And neither do yours. But God has plans. Isn't that wonderful? He's got purposes and plans for you. He's got purposes and plans for me. Something that helps us in the tension is a proverb in Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. It's a reminder that we make our plans, but sovereign God can overrule our plans and fulfill his purposes in that. So we hold that tension, okay? We do plan, but God can do different things as well. And then one of my favorite proverbs in this sort of arena, really, is Proverbs 15:22. It's a key team verse. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. I love that. Because there's something beautiful and something of God when his people come together and use their gifts and their talents and their ability to see things slightly differently. And collectively, we plan together, and that's a healthy thing as we go forward. We don't make our plans in isolation. There's something about teamwork, something about walking a road with somebody next to you. That's what we're called to as Jubilee. So we are called to plan and to prepare for the future. And as we do that, as I preach this morning, I want to tread carefully. I want to tread prayerfully, trusting God that as we walk with him at his pace, with him, that we keep in step with the Spirit as we go along, being led and guided by the Lord. Now, last week I said that nobody was leaving. We had our cliffhanger. What does the future hold? I said there's going to be something big. Nobody's leaving. Nobody's fired. None of those kind of things. It's all going to be good. And so to help us on this, I think I need to tell you the end of the preach now. Okay, and I'm going to use this book as a way of explaining it. So we are somewhere, if we talk about history, we're somewhere towards the end of the book, okay, somewhere, and we've got a chapter in our history now as Jubilee. And as we go through it, there's some little lefts and rights in this journey, and so I'm going to go to the end of this chapter and tell you the last paragraph, and then we'll work through how we get to this. The end of this chapter is that we feel as leaders at Jubilee that we need to redevelop the site that we are on. Okay, it's a building project. I'm going to talk a lot about buildings today. That's what we feel. That's the end of the chapter. Breathe. Okay, I can see the panic and the fear in people's faces. No need. Okay, that's the end of the chapter. I'm going to now spend the next half hour or so trying to tell us how we get to that point. The very, very best news that I always try and get into any preach is that there's an end chapter that is beautiful. The end of this book is wonderful. And in fact, the end of this book isn't even the end. It's only the beginning of the end, because we've been taught in the last few weeks in the scriptures we've been looking at, God has loved us with an everlasting love. There's an eternity waiting there that is beautiful. The start of that eternity that is beautiful, listen to this in Revelation chapter 2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. God loves his bride. Who's his bride? We are. You and I are the bride of Christ. He loves us, pimple and all. He loves us. He's got a beautiful bride, and he's got a beautiful plan for us. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The Lord is near. That's eternity. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Hallelujah. That's the end, or the beginning of the end of this book, because the old order of things has passed away. Something new and beautiful is going to come, and for eternity we're going to spend time with the Lord, and there's going to be no evil, no bad, only good. It's a wonderful thing. Now we can flick back to our chapter. There's going to be a building project, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we got to this position. So, right at the outset, because I'm going to be speaking a lot about buildings, what am I going to remind us? Who is the church? I said this last week. This isn't the church. We sometimes say we're going to church on Sunday and we think about a building. This is just a building. Who's the church? We are. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church. The church just happens to meet on a Sunday morning. Our part of the church meets here. And the church meets in your home this afternoon and in the workplace and wherever else God takes you. That's where the church goes and does what the church is meant to do. The buildings that we're in just help us to do and to be the church more effectively. It means that we can have things like dot-to-dot and life group and do coffee on the street and a million other things that we do as God's church in these buildings. Now, I've been in a number of churches where we didn't have our own building and we met in schools and libraries and all sorts of things, church planting backgrounds. I can see the pain in Louise's eye even as I look there now. Super early mornings, lugging PA gear and things around. Many of you have done that. And for many reasons, I much prefer having our own building than moving around, okay? Not just because we don't want to get up early and lug PA gear and things like that, but you know, it's so helpful having a presence in our town. It's so helpful just having this building. It's so helpful that when people come past on a Friday morning and they get a coffee and love, that they know, oh, that's where those people meet. They meet the people of this church. On a Friday when people come and get food share, they come into our building and they get loved. And they get food. It's wonderful for us. It's helpful not renting spaces because you can get kicked out at random times. due to other people's diaries, agendas, and rules, things like that. There's no place for spontaneity. We had a wonderful evening here on Wednesday night because the crescent, the roads around here and all the houses needed to have a meeting place for a particular meeting, and we offered Jubilee to them, and we had all of our neighbors in the neighborhood, none of whose driveways you park in front of. Just saying, okay? Because we love our neighbors and we don't park in front of their driveways. We park carefully around here, okay? And they came and they were in our building. It was a spontaneous thing. It was a beautiful thing to bring our neighborhood into our place. It's a beautiful thing, wonderful thing. Now, with the blessing of having a building, it also has some drawbacks. Lots of maintenance, lots of building projects over the years, making decisions how we use the buildings. It's not always been easy to accommodate numerical growth. When they built this building at the time, back in 1872, lots of the little rooms are small little rooms. Today, we would much prefer having bigger rooms that are multi-use and that we can change around a little bit. So we inherited those buildings, and they limit us in some ways. So we adapt them as we go along as well. Now, God has grown us numerically over the years, and we are so, so grateful to him for that. To also say, it's so easy to count numerical growth. We just count each other. We can say, well, there are more of us now than there were 2 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever. Spiritual growth is so, so important. Part of it is teaching them to obey what I've taught you. That's part of the Great Commission. And so it's difficult to measure that, but we do trust that we're becoming more and more like Jesus. As we're seeing people saved and added, but we want to grow, become more and more like Jesus. And as we've grown, as God has grown us numerically, we've had to make changes to the way that we use these buildings, how and when we meet. And so to help us this morning, I'm going to divide our church history of buildings into three stages, and I'm going to call them Big Build 1, Big Build 2, and Big Build 3. Now, Big Build 1, they're not equal in time, but there's a process that happens in each of these that I want us to understand this morning. Big Build 1 was the very first building project this church ever had, and it took place in 1872 when this room was built. How much did it cost us? £500 for this building. We've spent a lot more than that on renovating it over the years and putting new roofs on, and as I say, that projector bulb costs about 500 quid. But this building was built in that time. So is the manse. So is the outback a little bit later. So Big Build 1 is 1872 to 2005. It spans a long period of time, okay? And the manse was built, the sanctuary, the extension, and the outback. All of those things happened during that period of time. And people over the years have sacrificially given in to building and maintaining these buildings. As I was reading the church history, it was lovely. In the 70s, God did a really beautiful work in Maidenhead, and there was a lot of numerical growth here. And it was actually at that time, as we were growing as a community, that we were offered to buy the Ivy Leaf Club, which is next door, which is the car park and the toilets, the kids' work, where our kids are busy having the kids' work at the moment, the kitchen, all of that kind of stuff was bought in the 70s. I can't imagine us not having those buildings today. I mean, it's incredible. So, things have changed over the years to try and adapt to the numerical growth. So, that's Big Build 1, 1872 to 2005. Big Build 2 is 2005 until today. When do you think Big Build 3 is? Tomorrow onwards. Okay, so Big Build 2 is 2005 until today. And in 2005, if you came to Jubilee, there would be between 35 and 55 people on a Sunday. So we have more kids, double the amount of children under the age of 11 than we had as a big Sunday in 2005, 2006. And I've got four photographs that I'd like us to just quickly look at. If I can have a look at, photograph one is so blurred. It's the days, it's 2005, it's the best photo we have. And that's the entire congregation standing in front of the church. And so you can see it's a small group. I love the fact too that in 2005 there is a wheelchair in the photo. Because when we built the balcony, we also built a toilet for the disabled. There was a thing of, we want to be an open church that allows anybody to come and fellowship with us. Okay, so that's 2005. If I can have the next photo. That is, I took that photo because it was a big Sunday for us. We had a lot of people at that service on Sunday. And if you have a look carefully, you can see Dave Seddon just sitting over here. Dave, that's your back on the left there, just behind Joy. There's David Easton next to me. Mark and Debbie Burnage are spotted leading worship. There's Ronnie over there, Andrew Fleming, lots of people. That's 2000. That was a big Sunday in early part of 2006. Next photo. That is our kids' work in 2006. You can see Alexander Fleming. That's a Ronnie Fleming sitting over there. I think there's Kathy Gunn. And my daughter, Louisa, my daughter Jade, just her head popping up there. Andrew Fleming over there on the right. That room is the room that we currently store all of our tents for New Day. It's one of the really manky rooms in the building. That was where we had our kids' work because lots of our building was rented out to another church at that point in time as well. Okay, next photo. That is our first New Day. That is New Day 2006. That's me, Louise, Leah, and Jade. That's Alexia Atunian. I can see proud mum and dad at the back there. Joelle killing her son, her younger son. He did survive. He was hospitalized, but he did survive. That's Max, Dr. Max Glenn Jones, just so that everybody knows. And Andrew Fleming over there. What's wrong, Louise? Did I say Sam? Did I say Max? I meant Sam. That's us. How many people came this year to New Day? 64 people all in. So that's 2006, 2023, 64 people. God has been good. He's grown us numerically. We've seen people saved, added, baptized at Jubilee. And so if those photos are gone now, in 2012, we could hardly fit downstairs. Okay, and we looked at a number of options, and we felt God leading us towards putting in a balcony upstairs. And we called it Big Build, the Big Build. And so in our story today, it's Big Build 2. Okay, Big Build 1, 1872 to 2005, Sanctuary, Manse, Extension, Outback. Big Build 2, balcony, toilet for the disabled, and we bought some nice speakers and a few other odds and ends at that point in time. Okay, and Big Build 3 is tomorrow onwards. Now, as we were about to start Big Build 2, as we were about to start doing the balcony, just to let you know that that project cost just over £300,000, okay? So for us at the time, it was a big project. It was no small thing for us at the time, and God called us to. Caroline's not leaving because I've said anything. She said she was going to leave early in the service. Caroline, it's lovely seeing you, okay? Caroline used to fellowship at Jubilee, and we love her dearly, and she was in town and just popped in. It was lovely to see her. In 2012, we didn't have a full-time youth pastor, and I'm a very very visual person, and I went with my girls into town, and we bought a Ken and a Barbie doll, and I put them on my bookshelf in my office upstairs, as a reminder to pray for youth pastors. And in fact, we renamed Ken and Barbie to Ben and Kat. And not because we were going to poach Ben and Kat from another church, but we'd known of Ben and Kat, and we said, we want a Ben and a Kat at Jubilee. And so we prayed for a number of years for a Ben and a Kat. And just as we were looking at doing the balcony, in 2012, Ben went to his vicar, and he said to his vicar at an Anglican church just up the road, he said, Kat and I are really feeling we need to be in a New Frontiers type church. And they, good relation with their vicar, spoke it through, and their vicar said to them, why don't you go and speak to Stuart down the road? You're a mile down the road, just go and chat and pray with him. Ben didn't do that. And so I'll say nothing more than that, but Ben didn't do it. And then Ben applied for a position in another part of the country. And in that conversation with that other opportunity, the guy said, look, this is not going to be the right fit for you and Kat and for us in this situation. He said, but you won't believe it. I actually know there's a guy who leads a church just near you. He's about a mile away from you. His name's Stuart. Why don't you go and chat to him? So, okay. And Ben calls me up, speaks to his vicar again, and calls me up, and we go and have a coffee together. Nobody in Jubilee knew any of this was happening. Why? Because we were in the middle of a building project, you know, just about to build this balcony. And Louise and I were praying. And I sat with Ben in a coffee shop in town, and I just knew that God was in this. Ben and Kat needed to come to Jubilee. And Ben will say he sat there in the meeting knowing him and Kat were meant to come to Jubilee. Man, the timing was awful. You know, who on earth, we've been praying for years for a Ben and a Kat, and suddenly Ben and Kat could be an option, but the timing just is all wrong. We're in the middle of a £300,000 building project. Money's tight. We're focused on this, and yet God seems to bring something quite left field. And I got on the phone, and I called Louise, and Louise is a godly woman of faith, and she said, Stuart, we can give, and she gave an amount. And she said, we can give this towards Ben's salary for next year. And I wouldn't normally share this kind of thing, but I think it's really important for the story to say that. And it wasn't a totally round number. It was an interesting number. And then after Louise and I had spoken, after we had made a decision as to what we were going to give, I called some friends of ours. They are praying people. And I said to them, look, this seems very left field. I think it's of God. Won't you please pray for me? You won't believe this, but tonight we've got a trustees meeting, and I think I'm going to go to the trustees and say that this is the right thing. Won't you please just pray? Just ask God to make things clear. And at the same time, I went and I quickly drafted a bit of a letter to the trustees, trying to line, get my thoughts in line and for the trustees meeting, and I sent it to a couple in the church. And said, won't you please proof this and come back to me with anything that you think I should amend? Within an hour of me phoning the friends who I asked to pray, they phoned me back. And the guy said to me on the phone, he said, you know, me and my wife have been praying, and we just feel God led us to give towards Ben's salary. Exactly the same amount as Louise and I decided, to the penny. Money doubled. Not long after that, the friends that I'd asked to proof the letter came back with amendments and things, and they said, we've been praying, and we feel God give us an amount to give towards Ben's salary. None of them knew Ben and Kat. None of them, they just prayed, and they gave exactly the same amount of money. So money was just trebled in the same day. That evening, I went to the trustees meeting. It was just beautiful. As I shared, look, guys, this is the wrong timing, but I think this is right. Nobody knew Ben and Kat. And like this, the trustees said, we're in. We're in. By the next morning, a number of the trustees had said, we're going to give financially. We had Ben's entire salary for a year by the next morning. God is in it. God is in it. I love the fact that the trustees' meeting was the same day as meeting Ben, and because what it meant was there was no way for me, in my own strength, to Ben and Kat. There was no way that we could get our acts together and make it all happen. It was so quick, and it was God just saying, "Hey, I'm going to make this happen," and we just trusted Him. And I want to say, sometimes the timing can be wrong, but we hear God and He moves. Boom. It happens. And we are so, so grateful that God sent Ben and Kat and Matthew and Karis to Jubilee. Okay? Isn't that wonderful? And they could be stuck somewhere in the north of England. Sorry. As I say that, I know there are some people from the north of England. That was meant to be a bad place. But, okay, I'll move on. When we step into what God's calling us into, even when the timing doesn't feel right, even when we feel fearful and we're trembling a little bit, God will provide. We need to hear from Him, we need to keep in step with Him, and He will provide. And we will be part of a sacrificial equation. There's giving. If I'm talking about a building project today, there's sacrifice. But God will also bring us resources from the most unexpected of places. Our story when we did even the balcony was incredible where God brought money from. Just left field places. Just a reminder that it's God who provides. We sacrificed as a people, but God brought from unexpected places. There were many people who got bonuses that they weren't expecting. People outside of the church gave into the church. It was a wonderful thing. I could tell many of those wonderful stories, but I'm going to move us on now to Big Bull 3. And we know, when we look at numbers, we've done some number crunching over the last little while, that today is the largest consistent continuous attendance on Sundays in Jubilee's history. And if we look at the community that we serve, our community is somewhere between 300 and 400 people. We've got 170 under 18s in our community that we are ministering to. Okay, we know we've got 110 children under the age of 11. And back in 2012, when we built the balcony, we built it to house more people because we were full downstairs. And when this room was full downstairs, we talked and we prayed, God, what do we do next? What's the next step? And then we felt, we built the balcony, and then when that was full, what do we do? And then we felt we needed to go to multiple services, two services to get everybody in the building. And having multiple services on this site has been and continues to be hard work. It's hard doing two services on a Sunday. And we're not allergic to doing hard work, but there may be different and better ways of doing it, and that's what we've been exploring. As we've continued to grow over the years, we've always been looking, praying, seeking God. God, what do you want for us in the future? Do you want us to add more services to what we're doing? Do you want us to have satellite congregations in different places? Do you want us to rebuild the back of the church buildings and have a bigger room over there for us to meet in? What do you want us to do? Do you want us to extend the size of this? Do we look elsewhere in Maidenhead for other buildings? Do we plant out of here? Is it a combination of any of those? Those are the kinds of questions that we have asked over and over over the past few years. And last year, when we found that we were full in both services, we started having conversations far more seriously as eldership couples, as life group leaders, other leaders in the church. What's important for us as a church? What's our DNA? What are our values? What options do we have? God, where are you leading us? And in the middle of this process, it was interrupted by an event. Something happened that stopped us in our tracks in this process, and it was something as small as a hole in a roof. And a leaking roof can sometimes stop you in your tracks and reevaluate. And most of it, you will know that the extension, the building over there, where our kids' work is currently taking place, where the toilets are, where the kitchen is, has a limited lifespan. We've known that all along. It can't last us forever. And we've known for many years that the day would come. Well, it's come. Okay? And I want to say this is very, very important for you to hear this. This is massively important. The extension is safe. Okay? It is safe. We've got an external company in who've looked at it and deemed it safe for us to do the things that we do in there. We would never put people at risk in a room. Okay? So it's safe, but it does have a leak, and for a number of reasons, it's been the trigger for us to look at doing something far more radical. We can't just patch that roof up, and we can't put a new roof on that old building that's lifed. It's a wooden timber-framed building. Now, as we talk about buildings, I just want to thank the fabric team. You know, we have teams in Jubilee. Many things are seen up front, But most of the most important things are actually done behind the scenes. Beautiful, beautiful things. And the fabric team is one of those who take care of our buildings, who've done it for a long time, trying to weigh up what do we patch up, what really needs rebuilding. It's quite difficult sometimes. And I want to say a massive thanks to Donald and to Andre. Pete's not here. Mark's sitting on the balcony. Daph not here today. I actually want us to acknowledge them with a round of applause. I think it's wonderful. Thank you. So we feel now is the time of action because we can't repair the roof leaks. I'm not going to go into the details of this. You can just trust us on this. You can ask us these questions privately, okay? We don't believe that we should put a new roof on an old timber-framed building that has got a lifespan, a limited lifespan. And God has been leading us as leaders collectively to redevelop the site, that being the right option for us right now. There have been other things that we've looked at, we've explored over the years. All of those seem to be shut doors for us, okay? Other buildings, other places, all those kind of things. And God has been, and we believe will continue to speak to us through the scriptures and through the prophetic. And for me, one of the most important things is just this confidence that comes when there's an agreement, a unity amongst leaders. As we're talking about it, there's a sense of, yeah, this is what God seems to be saying to us. And we put a lot of weight on that. So, as I said, the elders have been praying and talking about this for many, 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 many years. And we feel it's the right time to redevelop our site. The fabric team feel it's the right time to rebuild a site, that it's the right option. And as trustees, we met just recently, and we've agreed that we will redevelop the site. So, a decision has been taken. Is that clear? A decision has been taken. We're going to be redeveloping the site. So, what does that mean for you and I as Jubilee? Okay, what does this mean? And Kathy Gunn, as one of our trustees, gave me an idea of explaining this at our last trustees meeting. Now, you won't believe it, but I've actually run sub-3-hour marathons in my life, okay? And I know I can see lots of sniggering around the room, but it is true. My wife's here. She knows that to be true. What's not true is the next little bit. I'm just going to tell you a little bit of a story to help us understand this building project. It's the 31st of December, and I'm making a New Year's resolution. This is not a New Year's resolution like, oh, I might start eating healthier or exercising a bit more. This is a decision I'm making. We're making this decision. And the decision is, I am going to run another marathon in my life. Okay? Making that decision, and with the Lord's help, miraculous help, some would say, I am going to do that. Okay? And so tomorrow, I'm going to start making a step towards my goal. What am I going to be doing tomorrow? Well, I've been reading loads and loads about how to start running again, making sure I don't get injured, and I want to be able to run a marathon. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to do the Couch to 5K. Anybody done Couch to 5K? There are numbers of people who've done Couch to 5K. So what am I going to do tomorrow? I'm going to download the app to my phone. Okay, that's a good starting point. And you know what I do after I've downloaded it? So tomorrow I'm going to download it, I'm going to get ready. It tells me that for the next 4 weeks, I've got to go for a walk every day. So the first step towards my marathon isn't even running. It's just going for a gentle stroll, and I've got to do that every day for the next 4 weeks. And at the end of that 4 weeks, my body's going to be used to pounding the road a little bit more, and my bone density is going to start increasing a little bit, and my muscles are going to work a little bit better, maybe even my heart rate, lungs, all those kind of things. And then at the end of that 4 weeks, I'm going to run for a minute, and then I'm going to rest for 1.5 minutes. And I'm going to do that for 20 minutes, and then the next day I'm going to rest. And the day after that, I'm going to run for a minute, and I'm going to rest for 1.5 minutes. And in 9 to 11 weeks, if I don't have a stress fracture, no other injuries, I'm hopeful that I'm going to be able to run 5 kilometers nonstop. And when I get to that point and I start running 5 kilometers at one stop, I'm going to do it, rest, I'm going to do it another day, and I'm going to rest, I'm going to do it another day. And over that period of time, I'm going to have lost weight, my muscles are going to have toned, my bone density is going to increase, my lungs are going to work better, my heart's going to be working. I'm going to muscle up as I do that. And at the end of that, when I'm comfortable running 5 kilometers, I'm going to look and I'm going to think, okay, Lord, what do I do now? I'm going to run 10 kilometers. And I might not even go for an app route this time. I might join a running club, or I might get a personal trainer or a buddy that I'm going to run with. And then I train myself again on that whole process slowly to get to 10 kilometers. And then eventually I'm going to run a 12K, a 15K, then a half marathon. And one day, sometime down the way, Lord willing, I'm going to run my marathon. And in the meantime, I'm going to have to buy new pairs of running shoes every now and then. I'm going to have to buy some summer gear. We're nearly into summer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's almost summer, guys. And I'm going to have some summer gear, and I'm going to have some winter gear, and I'm follicly challenged, so I'm going to have quite a few beanies. And I'm going to have to buy those things along the way. I'm going to visit Mike Chisholm at his physio. I might even go visit the doctor. All those kind of things are going to happen on this journey. One day, I'm going to get to running. Whew. A marathon. So if I apply that, I must just tell you, in the first service, Dave Tomlinson literally screamed out and said, "Stuart, I'll do a marathon with you." So I didn't say yes. I said, "It's an illustration, Dave." But he's promised to go running with me now. So there we go. So as I apply this picture with Big Bull 3, we've made a decision to redevelop the site, okay? We're going to run a marathon. We have no idea what that really means yet. Tomorrow we're going for an amble. We're going for a walk, downloading the app, and we're going to keep walking and enjoy that walk as we start preparing to run a marathon. We don't want to talk any money amounts yet because we can't, okay? We have no idea what we're talking about financially here. And we don't want to talk timelines because we don't know yet what this looks like. All we're saying is we're going to run a marathon and we're going to do the next step tomorrow. And I can say with fair certainty there are going to be no diggers on this site this year. This is the side of Christmas, okay? Nothing imminently is going to happen. Lots of stuff that will happen will be behind the scenes. And you might say, "Sure, well, what's the point of telling us this, there's going to be a building project, but you can't give any details about it? What's that about?" Well, I think it's important to know, what do we do while we are walking now and preparing to run a marathon? The first thing, the most important thing, is that we keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep advancing his kingdom. We keep being his church in Maidenhead and further afield. We keep loving each other. We keep loving the poor. We keep loving those outside of our community. It's business as usual for us as a church. We don't get distracted about what's going to come ahead. It's so easy to get distracted and start focusing on a building project and forget we are the church. It's important, and we'll have teams that'll make all of this stuff happen, but let us as a church keep being the church that he wants us to be in our town. It's an exciting time for us, and it's a muscle-building time for us. We're going to get strengthened. Our faith muscles are going to strengthen during the season. So that's the first thing. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Second thing, the importance of prayer. Please, 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 can I ask you to pray into this? Pray, ask the Lord to lead us and guide us, to make things ever so clear to us. Ask God that we would make all our decisions. We want to be prayerful in them. We're using our brains, but we want to. There's a sense of, God, would you lead us and would you guide us in this? Don't underestimate the power and the need for prayer. We need huge wisdom, and we also need huge favor in so many places. Can I also ask, please don't talk about this outside of our Jubilee family yet. It's so early days, and it could just cause us a lot of drama if people start imagining what we're talking about. We have no idea yet. Okay, so this at the moment is between you and I and the Lord. Let's just keep it very much horizontal at this point in time. Third thing is finances, and we can continue to give generously. We are a very generous people. I'm amazed by the generosity of Jubilee. So we have a big build fund, a building fund that is now open, and you can give into it. It used to be called the Strategic Development Fund. If you've been to a members meeting and you've heard us talk about the Strategic Development Fund, it has now been changed from the Strategic Development Fund, in other words, what are we going to plan in the future, to we now know what we're going to do in the future, and it's now called a building fund. A reminder, this is not in lieu of our normal giving. This is so important. When we do a building project, we keep giving into our normal tithes and offerings, and then the big build, the building fund, is over and above that, okay? Trust the Lord in that, okay? When we were considering doing the balcony, before we had actually made it known to the whole church, we had some friends staying with us. And when they left an envelope on the bed, and it had $3,000 in it. And there's a very funny story of me trying to cash that $3,000, almost getting arrested, but that's another story. And but they left us $3,000 and a little note that said, "God's laid something on your heart, this is for that." We thought, boom, we know exactly what this is for. And it was like a first fruit thing of, out of unexpected places, God has already started providing for the balcony. And we had to sacrificially give and everything. But God brought us money from the weirdest of places. A few years ago, somebody came to Jubilee, and they sat on the stage here, and they said, "God's asked me to give you £50,000. You and the elders can do whatever you like with it. God's laid something on your heart." Actually, what was on my heart already was, "God, what's the next stage for us as a church? What do we do next?" And so I knew it was going to be in that. We opened up the Strategic Development Fund at that point in time, and we put that £50,000 in there. It wasn't long after that, actually, and somebody in the church gave £100,000 as a gift. And we put that £100,000. Sure. Into the Strategic Development Fund. Yeah. God's been preparing us for this day for a long time. He's been laying things on people's hearts. I love the fact, almost always when we have amounts of money that are being given to a project, that it's not even numbers. It's just a little bit different. Do you want to know how much money is in the Strategic Development Fund? £181,512. Is in the Strategic Development Fund already. There's people already saying, "We know God's got something coming, we want to put into it." I love the fact that there's a £12 in there. I love the fact that there's a £2. And actually, I'm a little bit upset that there's not 25 pence in there, because it's just a reminder, every pound, every penny counts when we give it to the Lord. And He multiplies it over and over. Like that, the Mount Louise and I gave, then the other couple towards Ben's salary. God does that. He's in the business of doing that. Whenever we do a building project, it's so easy to become self-consumed and totally caught up in that. God always calls us to be generous outside of our church. We look right in the church history from the 1870s. This church has always been involved in international ministry and giving money to other places. And we just felt as elders just recently, we've given £5,000 to Moldova, to our partners, friends in Moldova, so they can employ somebody to help them in the work there, and for next year as well. And we just thought, actually, we're going to put first fruits out there in terms of our giving and our generosity. 2 weeks ago, we made a decision to give £5,000 to Stephanie and Dashung in Nigeria, and they want to build more classrooms in their school, and we've given £5,000 towards that. And we'll do more of that at the same time. I'm telling you that because we're not just consumed with what's happening. When we were doing the balcony, we gave into St. Mary's building project, because we want to be about other people doing what God has called them to. So the building fund is now open. You can start giving into it. We are asking that it's not designated funds. In other words, please trust us to use the money wisely. We don't want you to ring fence it, because we're going to need to pay for surveys and planning permission and architects and all sorts of things. Personally, if I give my money to something like that, I don't really mind if it gets used for an architect or for a surveyor or the brick itself. It doesn't really matter. It's for the whole thing at the end of the day. And I want to ask that you would trust the leaders here at Jubilee in that as well. Fourthly, there will be opportunity. Right now I've said keep it between you and God, but there's going to be an opportunity for us as a community to talk about this much more once we understand a little bit more. Okay, so it's not helpful right now thinking about all the eventualities. You can get yourself totally bogged down. Don't do it. I want to urge you not to do it. There will be an opportunity for us to talk and to say what should this look like, okay? And then I want to go in finishing back to my first point one last time. Like we learned in 1 John 1, we need to keep on being like Jesus to the world. We need to keep advancing his kingdom. We need to keep on being Jubilee. Keep the main thing the main thing. Okay. Almost finished. This may feel left field suddenly, and maybe it is a bit left field, but I'm going to be taking a sabbatical, which is a period of time off to rest and prepare, and at the end of that, come back to Jubilee. Louise and I have been pastoring here at Jubilee for the past 18 years. Whenever I say that, I'm amazed. I think, thank you, Lord Jesus, you've been so kind to us in those 18 years, and you've put up with me. Obviously, Louise is lovely to have around, but you've put up with me for 18 years. And then 7 years before that was in Wokingham, and then many years as a school pastor before that. And we've had a number of people over the past little while saying, we think it would be right for you to have a sabbatical. And so Louise and I feel it's the right time, a time to rest, but also to prepare for this next season, to come in refreshed and ready. So I'm going to be off for 3 months. Thank you to the trustees. I'm going to be off for 3 months from June until August. And I'd ask that you would pray for Louise and I, just in our planning, that all works out well for us and our family, and then also for us as a church as we look to what happens when Louise and I are not at Jubilee for that three-month period. Just to say, I'm absolutely 100% confident that everything's going to be wonderful. So I have zero anxiety about any of that. But let's just pray into that God ties all of that really well together. And then in closing, God has always spoken to us when we've embarked on something major like this. He's always been ever so clear. And it's because we need him to be. You know, it's like that 2020 vision. I don't want to go and say something unless I really, really heard God say it. And we sense that God has been speaking to us very, very clearly. When we did the balcony, there were many stories of God, how God led us to do the balcony, and then obviously his miraculous provision. I want to tell you one story because it links to today beautifully. When we were about to do the balcony, God had given both Ronnie, one of the elders, and myself exactly the same passage of scripture. And it was a really encouraging, building-oriented passage of scripture. And both of us had it. We had shared it with each other. And we said, God, would you give us some confirmation in this? And one Sunday morning, we had two Latvian women who came to the service. They were friends of somebody in the congregation. And at the end of the service, they said to Ronnie, we've got a passage of scripture we want to give you. We have no idea what it really means, but we want to give it to you. It's relevant for now. So Ronnie stops them and he said, call Stuart over. I'll go there. And we stand with these two women and they say, we don't know what this really means, but we want to read this passage of scripture to you. It was the exact same scripture that God had given Ronnie and I individually. Isaiah 54, verses 2 to 3. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. God had given it to Ronnie and to me. Two Latvian women come and they say, we've got this verse. It's the same verse. We walked with such confidence into the building project because we knew God was going to grow us to the left and to the right. The interesting thing is, as we finished the balcony, almost all of those seats were already taken by people who had started coming to Jubilee during that time. Sorry? And Zoe got saved during that time. We saw that first day, yeah, we had wonderful, we could go on and on and on with beautiful, beautiful stories. And last Sunday, as we felt it was a stake in the ground last Sunday and this Sunday, preaching-wise, we were going to preach about where God's brought us from and the vision to where's he taking us. And we're saying, God, would you give us confirmations again and again? And Sophie last week came up to bring two passages of scripture that she felt were relevant. Both of them were absolutely spot on. And I said, if you were here, I asked her, please, can you bring that next week? And I'm going to bring what Sophie brought me. I couldn't believe it. Guess what passage of scripture Sophie brought? Come on, guys, you should know this. This is obvious. It's Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3, the same word that God gave us at the start of building the balcony. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Ah, oh, God, thank you. Keep speaking. Pray, ask him to give us more. We look in our town and we see them building flats upon flats. We all have different opinions on that. But thousands of new people are going to come into our town. And we want to pray, God, would you make us part of enlarging our tent and seeing people saved and added and baptized. We're baptizing someone next week. We want to be filling baptistries, seeing people saved and added. We're not into transfer growth. We want people leaving other churches, unless it's Ben and Kat coming from an Anglican church down the road. But other than that, we want people saved and added, and new people who move into town. This morning, we've had a number of people who've just moved into Maidenhead. We want Jubilee to be part of their story. We want them to be part of our story. God wants us to grow. We sense this is the next step for us. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we love you so, so much. We love you so much. Father, what an incredible privilege to be able to walk with you, to be able to partner with you in the Great Commission. Thank you that you are with us always to the very end of the age. Thank you for the scripture the other week. You loved them right to the end. We know that that's true for us. You've loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you that you have plans for us. And Father, our desire is to not walk in arrogance in any way. We want to be hardworking and envisioned people, but we want to submit to your rule and your reign and your leadership. And we're saying, God, would you continue to lead us and guide us? Would you show us the way to go? Lord, we're asking you to tell us when to turn left and when to turn right. We want to ask that you would be involved in the minute details of what we're about to do here. And Lord Jesus, as we look to the past, we just see your fingerprints in everything. Beautiful. We see your presence and your fingerprints in things around us now. And we know, Lord Jesus, we submit to you and we say, God, would you have your fingerprints over everything in the future? We're your people. We want to go your way. We're asking you to lead us and to guide us. We're not abdicating any of our responsibility. We take that seriously. But lead us and guide us. Empower us, we pray. Give us faith. Raise faith in the room as we do what you called us to do. And Jesus, we long to see more and more people in our town meeting with you, the living God. We're not trying to flog something. We've got wonderful, great, great news. And so, Lord Jesus, would you grow us spiritually and numerically? God, would you help us as we enlarge the place of our tent, keep the stakes deep into the things that matter? For your glory, Lord Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Amen.